You're listening to the award-winning Travel Planners Radio Show with Kevin and Sue McCarthy.
Hey, it's Peter Greenberg here. You're listening to the Travel Planner Show with Kevin and Sue McCarthy. And don't say I didn't warn you.
Coming to you from the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show. And joining us now, a fellow that we have met here for the last 4 or 5 years, Mr. Don Evans, originally from Iowa, but he's living the life in paradise, the island nation of Yap. Welcome to the show, Don.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Let's start off. Tell everybody where Yap's located.
Okay, Yap is a place that a lot of people haven't heard of, but we're on the equator. Sort of generally, we can say maybe between Hawaii and Japan.
How do you get to Yap?
Yeah, I get that question all day long here. And United Airlines flies to Yap, and you can go several ways. Now, my colleague, Vincent, who's with me today, we'll both go home tomorrow morning, and he will go from Chicago to Hawaii to Guam and to Yap. I'm going to take a later flight because I like to sleep in the morning, and I will go from Chicago to Tokyo to Guam to Yap. We arrive at the same time.
Yeah, I never can figure out how they do that. How big is Yap?
Population-wise, we're about 7,000 people. It's kind of a longish island, and maybe about 3 miles across at an average width, and about 13 miles from tip to tip.
You have a very unique feature and something to see when you visit Yap. Tell our audience about your monetary system.
Right, yeah. For people who maybe can shake some brain cells loose from their elementary school days, Yap has the largest currency in the world. We're the island of stone money, and there are these gigantic discs. Some of them are, 12 or 13 feet in diameter, and of course a lot of them are smaller than that.
So you're not going to put them in your pocket and carry them around like change.
That's right. But it's still used for dowries and land exchanges and apologies and things like that.
Do you get what you call a deed of trust to these things that are half the size of a house, the big ones?
You know, it's an oral history society, oral history based society. So the value of all of this is really in the elders who know the story behind the stone money. And the value, believe it or not, has nothing to do with the size. The value is its history. And in the old days, people actually lost their lives transporting this money from Palau. The money comes from Palau. The stone is quarried in Palau, which is a neighboring island chain. And so the history of these pieces, no matter how large they are, is really its value.
I won't say that it's a backward society, but it is unique in its ethnicity and what you would call not downtown New York or L.A.
That's right. Yap is a very conservative society. I've lived there actually for 46 years, even though I'm originally from Iowa, and I have seen some change in that 46 years, but the culture, the material culture has changed a bit. You can arrive in Yap and you still see people in traditional dress, and they're not dressed up for visitors.
This isn't the greeting party.
Right. That's just the way they are. But I have seen that slowly change, and there's more and more people adopting Western dress, but there's still a fraction of the population that still wears traditional dress. So the material culture has changed, but their innate culture, I think, is really very much, their social culture is very much intact.
Would you describe what it is for the traditional dress that they wear?
Women wear grass skirts, and I think that the Hawaii Visitors Bureau in the 1930s kind of borrowed from the Micronesian culture, because I don't want to be corrected here, that grass skirts were innate in Hawaii. But Yap women traditionally wear grass skirts, not the cellophane type, but it's usually made out of various kinds of plants. And the pedestrian or the everyday grass skirt is really sort of like a little moving haystack, brown and so on. But they do brightly colored skirts made out of hibiscus fiber for ceremonies and for dances.
And when they're dancing and so on, they really rotate their crops, right?
That's a good, well put. That's right.
I had to do that. That's a Midwest Iowa, Missouri, Illinois term from farmers.
The men, boys and men, wear loincloth similar to the malo, I think, that Hawaiians traditionally wore. The layers of this loincloth is dependent on age. A young boy would just wear one thu, we call it, or one loincloth. And then as they get older, colors are added. It's usually red, white, and blue colors. And then a man about 30 would have the full regalia. And then when you reach a certain age, maybe like the age I am now, then you can start taking some of those loincloths off, because as you're older, then, you know, you don't don't have to carry around so much weight, I guess. But it's a very interesting and colorful dress.
Sounds like it. As a tourist, what are we going to see and do when we're in Yap?
For those of you that are listening out there and you're thinking about coming to Yap, the best time to come is what we call Yap Day. And Yap Day has been going on for years and years and years. And it's not only for tourists, but it's where the Yappies celebrate their own culture. And that's March 1st, usually the days before and after March 1st. And during those days, you see traditional canoe sailing and all of the traditional arts, and they come out to kind of compete against each other, not just perform for the tourists. But if you don't come on Yap Day, you can see the culture by land tours and go into village. Most of our people who come to Yap are actually scuba divers.
So you have diving. Is fishing available?
Diving and sport fishing is available, kayaking and boat trips and hiking. We also have developed our World War II history. Mr. Patrick Ranfrans with MissingAirCrew.com, his uncle was killed in the war over Yap waters, and that stimulated him to really research it out. We've been very fortunate that he's shared that with us. So we've identified the crash sites and also the history behind the pilots and so on. So that's another growing attraction in Yap for those World War II buffs.
Was this an outpost for the United States military at one point in the Pacific?
We were not as important in the war as Palau, the Battle of Peleliu, Saipan, or Midway, but there was some activity on Yap, and we've been able to document whatever that activity has been.
I think in talking previously, you had said there was a satellite tracking station or something there?
You know, there used to be a Loran station. That's old, antiquated technology now. But in the 1950s, I think it was 57 or 58, the U.S. Navy put down a Loran station, and this was a tall tower that emitted radio signals so that people could get a bearing and know where they were.
Well, it sounds like there's certainly some great things to see and unusual things to see in Yap.
Yes, well, I hope that you can come down sometime and see us. We broadcast your show on V6AI, Radio Yap, so you'll have to come down and listen to your show.
Now, that would be a hoot.
I have one question before we leave here. Besides the website, what is the average daily temperature there?
I can give you the weather report. And the weather report could be January 1st or July 1st. We're going to have a high of 88, a low of 78 with light easterly trades. And that's every day of the year.
Okay, we're on the way.
And I never get tired of it.
I see why you're living there now. A website that our listeners can go to find out more.
Yes, thank you. www.visityap.com.
And that's Y-A-P.
That's correct.
Don, thanks very much for joining us again on the Travel Planners Show.
Well, thank you so much.
I think he does have the best job in the world.
Yes, he does. He and the other guy we interviewed last week with the yachts in the Caribbean.
Yep.
We'll take those jobs.
Either one. Yeah. That does sound like a fun place, and I think there's probably a lot more to do than what we were able to discuss there.
Yeah, and we should visit our radio station that broadcasts for us out there.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we're worldwide, I guess you could say. We invite you to be part of the Travel Planners Radio Show if you want to drop us an email, kevinandsuetravel@yahoo.com. That's all one word, kevinandsuetravel@yahoo.com. Tell us where you've been, and you might be our next guest on the radio. It's just that simple. If you have a travel tip, we'd love to share it with our audience. Again, kevinandsuetravel@yahoo.com. We'll put it on the air and put your name on the air if you like as well. Tell us where you're listening so we can put one of those little push pins in our map here in the studio. That way we can, it's getting kind of full. We appreciate that. Some new stations coming online, one in Jerseyville, Illinois, and we've got a new one that will be coming up within the month that we'll tell you about at a later date. I'm Kevin.
I'm Sue McCarthy.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Planners Radio Show. We've still got a little bit more to go, so don't go away. It is the Travel Planners Radio Show, coming to you live on the Gab Radio Network.